Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for being with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Ford Hurd is our guest. I'm excited about him being back on the show. And before I go any further, folks, I do need to make this statement in the interest of your own health and everything, and that's to buckle your seatbelts, because Floyd is in the building, and we never know exactly where this thing is going to go. Floyd's the president of the Rousing Creativity Group. He's the author of Rousing Creativity, which I've been telling you about for a long time, and his new book is called Live Like You Mean It, The Exhilaration of Being in Control. Someone who's always in control. Floyd Hurd, welcome back.
Jim, the last thing I am is in control, and you know that. I don't want to be in control.
You got too many women in your life to be in control,
Floyd? Just, what makes me crazy is people who are so controlled. I mean, I just don't like that. Do you?
Well, yeah, I agree with you, but and I laugh at those people.
I do too.
I have fun, and you know what? I laugh in front of them.
Right in their face. Huh?
They know I'm laughing at them. Yeah. What does that look like, Floyd?
Huh?
What does that look like?
Control.
What does it look like when someone is the people who irritate you? You were just talking about. What do they look like when they
everything is regulated in their life. You know, B must follow A. And I don't understand that, because B doesn't have to follow A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, Jim, as you well know, I write on creativity. And I've been thinking about this, you know, for a long time. And you know, my definition for creativity is any new action you take that causes a reaction. Because I've always believed that you've got to take your idea and present it to someone. And mm-hmm. The idea can be new to you. And so once in a while, I will see someone do something really remarkable, creatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, how did they come to that? What was it that they came to?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the way they came to it is by looking at something and not bringing to it their own predispositions. They believe that, you know, you can't put green on a yellow such and such.
Right.
You know, the world says you never do that.
Well, and no white after Labor Day.
Yeah, no white. So suddenly you go, I'm not going to think like that anymore. And you stop thinking the way you've been thinking. And you say, now let me open up any possibility. Now, rigid people can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, let's go jump in the water, they go, oh, it's too cold. And I go, I don't care if it's too cold. Jump
That's
in
right.
the water. Because they believe just fundamentally that they can't do things.
Well, but it takes courage, though, Floyd, to do what you're talking about. Because, I mean, I tried to wear white after Labor Day, and I got ridiculed, and it hurt my feelings. So I don't do that anymore.
But Jim, there were probably other reasons they're ridiculing you. You probably had something on that was really not very attractive.
Well, that's true. It was.
Well, maybe you forgot to put on clothes and your lily white skin because you ain't got a tan. Was the thing?
No,
that
I thought
people.
What it was the white thing I wore was 30 years old. Maybe that's what it was. I keep thinking if I wear them long enough, they'll come back in style. But
oh, well, they do, especially with your stuff. I mean, you buy stuff that never goes out of style. Blue jeans just never go out of style.
I met somebody the other day who said she was 30, and I said, I've got clothes older than you.
Oh, yeah, I got underwear. I wear underwear longer than that.
But anyway, back to your idea, I mean, you're right. And the thing is, this is an important trait for a small business owner to have, isn't it? To be able to look at something and say, you know what? What if we just turn this upside down? I know you're not supposed to, but what if you did that?
And be open to people who suggest turning it upside down, inside out. And, you know, the one thing I always find, and I run a lot of creative groups and brainstorming sessions, I will often find that in the beginning, someone will say something really stupid,
yeah.
Which is what you want from a brainstorming
right,
session.
Exactly.
And everybody kind of goes, oh, yeah, but, and, you know, that's the kiss of death right there. But, like, later on, maybe an hour into it, that idea will come back in a different permutation.
Mm-hmm.
And someone has twisted it just enough to say, wow, what if we did this? And if you watch the genesis of that idea, it's clearly there. And it works very easily if you are open to the suggestion and to the breadth of that suggestion instead of being closed to it.
And see, I'm usually the guy who says the first thing. And when it comes back around and everybody adopts it and they think it's, you know, we need to nominate this guy for the Nobel Prize. It's not me they're nominating. It's the guy who took my idea and created something else with it.
Absolutely.
And I stand up and say, wait a minute, I just said that.
Yep.
And they said, yeah, but you did your hand this way, and he did his hand this way.
Yep. And you know, and the, what somebody said one time is you can get an awful lot accomplished if you don't mind who gets credit. And I think there's a lot to that. But, you know,
that's right.
even then, in your case, it will come back around to you on some level. Maybe not in that particular instance, but the fact that you are creative enough to think about it opens you up to a vista that other people don't have. And I don't care who gets the credit. And,
right.
You know, and that is one of the hard parts about running a brainstorming session. If you facilitate them, to remember who said such and such makes a big difference. You know, Blasting, didn't you say that about an hour ago,
exactly.
Something sort of like this?
Hang on, Floyd. Fred was last a half hour. Floyd, now we have with us, folks. It will be with us as we continue our visit right after these messages. When we come back, I'm going to ask Floyd about a question that you should use in brainstorming. Stay with us. 20 till. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, we've got a new friend who's going to be with us. And her name is Cynthia Johnson. And she's going to be talking to us about what smart girls know about the SAT. She says that the SAT is skewed in favor of boys, not girls. And she's mad about it. She's going to tell us what's going on. And then in the next half hour after that, we're going to be visiting with Arky C. and Cuddy, and he's going to talk to us some more about how to install trust in our organizations. Floyd Hurd is our guest. He's the author of Live Like You Mean It. Floyd, tell us where your book's available.
Well, go to Barnes & Noble. Go to Amazon. You know, if it's not there, they'll order it for you. But Amazon's got it in stock. It's the easiest, quickest way. But Barnes & Noble's always a good place to...
You know how to spell Floyd, so his last name is H-U-R-T, just like you think it would be spelled.
And don't miss the book. People seem to like it.
That's right. That's right. I certainly do. Floyd, I know you want to talk about money in just a little bit, but before we do that, back to the brainstorming thing. This is what I've learned, hopefully it's wisdom, as I have done some brainstorming in my life. I used to just say, let's turn it upside down, even though you're not supposed to, and sometimes there was a good reason why it wasn't supposed to be turned upside down. So as I got over the getting the knots on my head over those things, I started saying, well, why can't we turn this upside down?
And then somebody would say,
because they'd give me a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd say, well, but who said and why did they say it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep getting to it, then finally you find out, well, okay, they were right. You know, we better not turn this upside down. There's
right.
a really good reason. But then sometimes you'd find out, wait a minute. You know, that's not true today. That was true 5 years ago, but not now. Let's turn this upside down. You need to ask why, right?
Well, you need to ask why, absolutely, usually you need to ask that at least three times to get a real good answer. Then the next thing I do is say, okay, what can we do to prevent it from spilling if we do turn it upside down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that is where your creativity starts to come in. You know, if we can't turn it upside down because it'll spill, we're obviously making this simple. All right, I understand that. That makes absolute sense. But how can we keep it from spilling? Now you're into a different category, and that may be something that you add to it, take away from it, or some way of changing it just enough so it doesn't spill, which might be a marketing advantage. You know, in many, many instances, we're all in the commodity business.
We are all in the commodity business.
And it's a question of saying, I mean, if you look at something like rock salt as opposed to salt, they've made it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
They make kosher salt. So you got to find some way of differentiating yourself. One of the techniques that I like a lot, Jim, which I think is really a great brainstorming technique, is to say, if you've got a problem, let's say the problem is people being late to work, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'll make up anything. You get together a group of people, no more than 10 or 12, and you say, how can we make this problem worse? Okay? I'll give you an example. Paper flow through the office. It's just horrible. Let's say it's just terrible. So you get 10 people together, and you say, how can we make this problem even worse than it is? And you say, okay, what we need to do is send all the paperwork through Jim Blasingame. Because when it gets to his desk, that's where it stops.
It's where projects go to die, right?
It's where projects go to die, the elephant graveyard in the great big sky. Well, what you've done then is isolated an area that needs focus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're no longer saying, what are we going to do, what are we going to do? We go, what are we going to do with Jim? How can we make it? Is he getting too much paperwork? Does he not have the right computer? Does he not have the right software? Is his desk too small? What's the problem here? Now I've focused on what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of making problems worse is the greatest way in the world to find an area where you can really improve.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't do it. Customers are waiting too long in my waiting room. How can we make that actually worse?
Now you and I have talked about brainstorming before. We've talked about having an actual sit down brainstorming session. But what about having little vignettes with your employees? For example, a lot of times an employee will bring me something, and they'll say, this is not, we can't do this. And I'll say, why? And they'll say, because they told me that we couldn't. and I'll say, or they didn't tell me that I could. And this is where they get frustrated with me, because I say, well, why don't we find out if we can? And then they look at me like, well, maybe, anyway, just as if I'm asking the impossible.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so I'm the person who always says, let's make sure that we ask people if we can.
Yeah.
Find out what they really meant. But a lot of people will take the first no and go away.
Absolutely. And there's also a wonderful adage that I think works almost all the time, and it's better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Oh, yeah.
And I, with people...
That's one of my mottos.
Oh, well, people say, well, nobody said I could do that. And I look up and say, well, they might say you couldn't. Well, no one's ever done that before. I go, well, seems like a pretty good chance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Go give it a shot. And, Jim...
But back to what I said earlier, Floyd, it takes courage to do that.
It does take courage to do that. And as you know, that's one of the six requisites that people have
right.
to have experiences that are important. I agree
right.
with that. And I think that ultimately, you've got to be willing to say, I screwed up.
Right.
You've got to be willing to do that. If you're unwilling to say, I dropped the ball
mm-hmm.
because I didn't understand, then if you're not willing to do that, then you're going to be relegated to either a small, lackluster business or a small, lackluster individual.
Well, a friend of mine, Tom Feltenstein, wrote it in his book, one of his books, Uncommon Wisdom. He said, failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
Yeah. And you've heard it a million times. What was 1,000 things that Einstein, what's the guy who invented the light bulb? Edison said.
Edison,
doesn't work. And, I think those things are sort of hackneyed by now, but they're really kind of true.
They are true. They may be hackneyed, but they hit it right on the nose, don't they?
And I think that people who go, well, this is not my job. Everything is your job. If it can be your job, it is your job. And this is what a lot of people who are relegating themselves
mm-hmm.
to small-minded, repetitive jobs do. Now, Jim, there's no problem if people want to do that. Some people are going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, though, is I think brainstorming helps employees to become stakeholders.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when you come back.
Right after these messages. It's 10 till. Floyd's done this before. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Floyd's book is Live Like You Mean It, and he'll help you do that. But I don't. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Floyd Hurd is our guest, and Floyd, we're going to talk about money next time, right? Because we've just run out of time. We promise we are going to talk about money. We've been meaning to talk about this for a long time. Floyd's got some things to talk about money, and the next time he joins us, we'll talk about it. But Floyd, when we took the break, I said that helping your employees to be involved in the brainstorming session, I believe, helps to make them stakeholders.
Oh, man, doesn't it ever? But the key to these things are, if somebody comes up with an idea that they think is really good, and you ignore it, they will never come back.
Right.
So what you've got to do, even if an idea doesn't work, I've got to come back and say, Jim, that thing you came up with the other day? We looked at it. We thought about it. These are the three reasons that it might not work right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you can come up with some way to overcome these, we want to hear about them. But that's a great idea. Right now, it's not going to work. Or this is what we're going to do. We've modified. It's going to work like this. Give them feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And also the thing I hate more than anything, we were talking about energy suckers at the break, how there are people out there who just suck your energy. A lot of them are so damned politically correct about everything. They are so afraid to put themselves on the line. And we live in a world nowadays where we are being completely debased down to this level where people are unwilling to say certain things. If you don't say things that are a little bit off base,
right.
Guess what? You're always going to be on base.
And we're also to the point where we can't laugh at anything anymore.
Oh, I know. We
can't laugh at ourselves for fear of offending somebody else.
Yeah, I know.
But back to you with the employee thing. One of the things that I tell my employees that I've tried to tell them is, don't bring me a problem without a solution.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be perfect. It very well may not be what we wind up doing, but I want you to have thought about the situation long enough that you give me something, and that way you can contribute to what I'm going to tell you.
And that's called fodder. You know, we may not do it, but it starts the thinking process.
Right.
And you know what I hate is someone says, well, you know, we thought about that before. Well, yeah, but then no one ever steps in the same stream twice.
Right.
Things change. That idea that you thought of a month ago or 6 months ago may be perfectly acceptable today. There may be a better cash flow situation. There may be more people with more talent. There may be access to new information you didn't have before. So don't eliminate these ideas. They may not work, but again, acknowledge the fact that someone said, this is an idea, and later on, if it doesn't work, you tell them why it didn't work and what you can do about it. These are simple rules that make people want to come to work.
Well, and the thing is, Floyd, in small business, we have an absolute wonderful environment for this kind of thing to happen, because when we actually create something in our minds that we can try, we can find out maybe before the end of the day if it'll work or not. Big businesses don't have that. They don't have that luxury. They can't move that fast.
No. When I was the director of new products for a very large food company, we broke ourselves off from the larger corporations so we could do that, and it makes all the difference in the world. The other thing you got to watch out for is the not invented here problem.
Right.
Small business people go through hell to get where they are. We know that. They've worked hard. They've stayed up late. They've risked their money. They've risked their time. They've done all that. And in comes some little upstart that says, make it green. And you go, I can't believe you'd say make it green. I have worked so hard making this company yellow.
Right.
And you're telling me to make it green. They're unwilling to listen to make it yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is the death knell of most large corporations. When the president of the company is unwilling, because of his stake in it, to listen to a different way of doing something.
Well,
we've always done it this way. We're not changing.
You and I both have seen companies, not even small companies, go down totally, spin, crash, and burn because of what you just said.
Yep, absolutely. They are unwilling to say there may be a better way of keeping our books. Because I kept them like this when I started the company, and you know, I'm going to do it now too.
Or it was good enough for Dad, it's good enough for me.
Yep, and nothing stays still. Change is the only constant. You got to be willing as a small business owner to say, wait a minute, maybe our sign does look antique. I realize that sign's been there for 30 years and people know it, but maybe it's not helping us with the new target market.
Right.
You got to be willing to say those things.
I remember the story about the little girl who asked her mother why she cut the end of the ham off, and she said, well, we've been doing it for generations. And she said, but why are you doing that? And she said, well, I don't know. Let's call great-great-grandma. So they called great-great-grandma, and she said, yeah, I started that because I didn't have a pan big enough for a whole ham.
Yep. And even though it may be a fun tradition, and you don't want to eliminate certain traditions because people do look for the sign. We use that metaphorically, obviously. But there may be a different target market growing out there. If you're seeing an aging population in your buyer, you may say to yourself, wow, these people are going to be gone.
Yeah,
what am I going to do? What do I have to do to accommodate this?
Live Like You Mean It is the book. It's available wherever books are sold. The author is Floyd Hearn. He is officially the best. Thanks, Floyd.
James, keep behaving.
See you later, buddy.
Bye.
Floyd Hearn, ladies and gentlemen. Now you can unbuckle. No, wait a little bit. Floyd's still on the building. Don't unbuckle yet. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, all you creative ones out there, especially. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.